lost? Who lost that argument?
Well, Neil Young did.
Joe Rogan got millions of subscribers. Yeah. Neil Young sold millions of albums. But
that's a good point.
Public Access America missed 2/3 of its audience because people boycotted Spotify. So who are you really hurting in that conversation?
Yeah, it's always the little guy who gets the pinch. Sure.
Yeah, right. And the first thing I did, I went to the Joe Rogan website and said, I'll be on your show because I think that's what's important. The counter conversation, rational people having rational conversations. Yeah, they get in the weeds. We say some stupid stuff, but that's the point. Americans say some stupid stuff and they need to know they have the space to unsay it or elaborate, right?
Well, that's, I think, really important. I think that's what's missing from social media is giving people the ability to say, look, I said something dumb or I'm not that person anymore. I don't even believe, I agree with you. That version of me is, well, he said it's stupid. Right. I don't think that way anymore.
Change me. Said it so you would change me and in hopes change the world that feels the same way. That's how I feel.
It is time now for something positive.
We might be headed to the promised land
of speaking the truth and finding our external liberty once we internally liberate ourselves.
Problem can only be solved when there is a kind of coalition of conscience.
Because that is how it works.
This is the beginning, it is not the finale, and that's why we're here, and that's why we rally.
We've got to be that creative minority.
Get in the way. I got in trouble. It was good trouble. It was necessary trouble.
Franklin, I know we've got to do something.
And
right on.
We're back at another episode of Public Access America. My name's Jason. His name's still Marco. And his name is still Zach. And I had two questions for each of you. One is a landmine and one is a tough question. Which one wants to go first? Can you guys come up with the consensus?
I want to hear Zach first.
Okay.
All Zach, right, I'll go.
What's your problem?
Oh, mm-hmm. My problem? Oh, I don't even, man, on the couch. I don't know.
The hardest questions are the open-ended, simple ones. You know what I mean? What is
aggressive therapy?
What is my problem? My problem.
Oh no,
I just wanted
to make sure it wasn't aggressive. That's why we did the whole first hour, so that he knew I didn't hate him.
But he's been softening you up, man. Just put you on the couch.
Yeah. What's your problem?
Life doesn't stop. Like it just keeps coming. Like there's no pause. There's not like a video game where I can just hit pause and walk away for a moment. I can't walk away from life. That's my problem. And it just starts piling on. And the more I ignore it, the worse it gets. And so I try and find time to put everything in, but there isn't enough time. So things just seem to add up more and more. And I can never find the point where I'm either on point or ahead of it. I don't feel like I can ever get ahead of things. Like everything is always coming at me. So I just wish that I could pause. That's all I want. Like for a week, just give me like anesthesia and just like put me to sleep just for like 1 week. Just let me like,
you can give me anesthesia. I'll take anesthesia and you can have the anesthesia.
Give me anesthesia. I'm anesthesia. I'm kind of a happy guy. That was morally incorrect. I apologize. I get it.
That's why it's fun. No, that's
anti-joke.
You live only by your morals. You're not a good person.
Well, you only live by your morals if you continue to question them among other people, right? Mm. I do agree with you, Zach. Like, I would play that game SimCity, and once my city became too much to control, I just wiped it out and started it again. And I always wished that, life would give me that moment to just organize shit and get prepared for the next day, you know?
It's like, can I just nuke everything and just start over? Just like, come on, give me. I don't want to make that decision this time. Let's do a different route.
I can't even afford to get to that desert island, but I think I'd like it there once I got there.
Arthur C. Clarke did.
Yeah. What's your next worry? Where's the coconut? You know what I mean? Man. Okay. Do you have anything to say to your friend about how he's feeling right now, Marco?
Do I have anything to say? Is he done with his questions? Okay.
Yeah, he's feeling overwhelmed, stressed. There's too much on his plate, and so are you, and so is everybody else. But you know,
yeah, I think that's just life. That's not like me and my
that's
woes.
Just life. That's just one like, perspective that also yeah. contains a majority of any podcast audience. Like, we're all feeling stressed, overwhelmed, and I'm just wondering if there's simple solutions Marco might have to help calm that a little bit for everybody, not just you. I'm sorry.
You need, for me, it's music. That's why I love to sing. And you either need to create music or you need to listen to it. And maybe it's not music, but some form of art. I think that's really what art is. Is just self-therapy. And as long as you have some form of
expression,
your imagination, I think, does serve a critical role in managing your stress. Because the way I look at life is like this: everything you do is a management of stress. Everything. I mean, even if you're like right now, I'm twiddling my nails as I speak. That's a management of stress. Damn it. Yeah. So everything you do, the way you talk, the way you look at things, the way you move, you breathe down to every core of your being is a management of stress in varying levels, right? Yeah. Just like managing dementia, which I think we all suffer from, which is most of us have it under control. You know, sanity is the fluid thing. I think it's more like a wave, kind of like existence, but without getting too confusing. But that will, I think, will center you. You know, no matter what you're going through in life, you can find you can find a way out of it.
As I say, this too shall pass.
What I've tried to do, and it's unsuccessfully, because I felt the same way Zach did. I tried to work on tomorrow's stuff so that tomorrow I have to work on the next day's stuff and then the next day's stuff. But I'm always like one day away from, I could take a day. Right? Because I worked on tomorrow. It's going to suck for me if I don't work on tomorrow today, but I have that at least one day of buffer zone. I don't know if you can do that when other people are relying on you, though, you know?
Well, yeah, that's something I can't relate with. Not technically. But yeah, I think for me, the goal is always satisfaction. I'm completely willing to work as hard as I have to get something, as long as I can develop whatever that a goal, let's say, and the goal of the goal is to be satisfied once I have it, not to just use it as a platform to convince myself I need more,
right?
You know, and really that's an argument for, I think, materialism, you know, because that's what we're raised to be, is these consumers. It's a really ugly sort of framework that we're raised in,
and
you know, we're just like, just consume, just buy, just always want more, and it's not healthy.
I told my roommate, I was like, if you have a job, if you don't have a job, $100 in your account or 5,000, there's always a package at our door, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Isn't that something? Yeah
it's weird.
My roommates were the same way.
You were talking about a search for patience, and then consumerism just flies right in the face of that. Are we getting? Yeah. Are we going to get past that as a society, or is it just going to get worse?
I think it's going to get worse. I think that people are worried about AI. I'm worried about McDonald's AI. I think that we're going to be incorporated. You know, our psyche is going to be incorporated into something, the ultimate version of a consumer, whatever that is.
Right.
But, you know, I think eating the universe is eventually what it's going to be. You know, what can we? Because I mean, like, I think I have. Let's like, here's a fun thought. The elites of the world, the civilization builders and managers, they're, I think, in undeniably, let's say, evil, right? They don't conduct themselves with the same morality that we do, because they can't.
At best, they're self-serving. At worst,
right? At best. So what is their goals? What do they want? Well, they just want more 14-year-olds and cocaine. And, you know, I mean, what do you get with more power? What do you really get? You know, Dan Bilzerian had a great point. It's like it's better to be the guy trying to be him than to be him, because that person is always getting victories. There's always something to celebrate. He's at the top. What does he celebrate? He didn't sound satisfied. So that's why satisfaction, I think, to me, is the most important thing in life.
So when you say it's a consumer culture and consumerism, is that just buying things, or is that more than just buying things? Because I don't find myself buying anything.
It's not just. Most except of the consumption, I think, is the idea. It's just drowning in the ideas of wanting things rather than actually owning them. So you're just sort of possessed. You're just, you know, from the moment you wake up, everything you do, everywhere you go, you're being bothered to be enticed, right? This constant, like like the Bible says, you know, the devil is constantly, you know, teasing you. He's constantly trying to get your attention. I'm not religious. I'm just using that as an example.
Is that a bad
right, thing?
I think so. I think it's bad because we have developed.
Sorry, I wanted to segue into a Satan conversation, but we're not there yet.
No, I'm down. Yeah, I'm down with that.
I think being tempted by the devil isn't so bad. I mean, he was once an archangel. Like, if he came down and gave us knowledge and God was the one like hiding it, then why are we upset with the devil? And how do we know that
that's the answer? Because right. Knowledge brings suffering. We constantly suffer. So that's what God was saving us from, is that he was saving us from himself. In other words, his role was that he had to carry the knowledge of the universe because he can't die. So he's always knowing more. And that's a state of suffering, a state of stress. And giving that to his most beloved creation would be an immoral act. Wow. And that's what the devil did. He did the greatest immoral act of all. He gave us the keys to the kingdom. He gave us the keys to the universe. So here, look, this is what God knows.
Wow.
You know, I made it. I mean,
thank you. You changed my mind on that.
That's just my opinion. Yeah. I mean, like Obi-Wan Kenobi is the reason there's all strife in the universe, right? Because he showed a sword to a kid and said, hey, you want to learn how to use it?
Well, that was Qui-Gon Jinn.
No, Obi-Wan Kenobi did that to Luke Skywalker. The universe was at peace, right?
Think
about it. Like the greatest threat to the universe. Okay, another segue. The greatest threat to the universe is actually the Force, because that's where all the turmoil comes from. Is this uncontrollable godlike weapon, right?
Right.
The light controls and the dark controls. But who do they appeal to? The young, the emotional. That's who they recruit. They don't recruit a bunch of old Yodas. They recruit young people because they're indoctrinable, right?
Right.
So they continue this struggle, and it's really ceaseless and needless at the same time, because it doesn't produce anything and it doesn't protect anything. The light just defends itself and those they deem innocent from the dark. And the dark is just an alligator, right? It's doing what an alligator should do. It's attacking, right, to survive.
Right.
So once that's finally gone from the universe, right, and Obi-Wan is the only one with really the knowledge to it, there's peace in the universe. Everyone's just sort of happy with the way things are.
Well, not necessarily.
There's always contention, but there's order. That's the point. There's order in the universe without the Force around. And then Obi-Wan comes along and says, hey, man, I got a lightsaber. It was your dad's. You want to learn how to use it?
But, you know,
all shit breaks loose.
Both the dark side and the light side are fighting for more than 50%. That's the issue at odds, isn't it?
Well, yeah, there's no balance. And that's what you need in life, is balance.
Yeah.
You need to have both, you know, negative and positive things to
And that lightsaber prosper. Was the opportunity to tip it one way or another. And somebody took that chance instead of thinking about the greater good of balance. And it went the wrong way with Luke, or with his dad, right? Not Luke.
That's why I blame Obi-Wan.
Anakin.
He's the real villain.
He is the real villain, but I'll say the fucking Disney Obi-Wan show is amazing.
See, like, I haven't seen that yet, so I don't know. If, like, my whole philosophy on Obi-Wan sucks now. Yeah,
it's changed.
Like, the
it doesn't really change. It doesn't really change. Mm-mm. He's there to protect Luke, the whole time. So, okay, I think my issue with consumerism is our expectation to be consumers. Like, if you're going to get married, you need to think about seat cushions and tablecloths and every flowers and all. Maybe I just want to get married. Maybe I don't want the cost of a wedding to be $40,000 to start. Maybe a funeral doesn't have to cost $16,000, but it's these little expectations of you're not going to have the, you know. And I think, like, student loans. Well, I'm expected to go to college and try as hard as I can, and I need as much money as I can, and this is the route to take. And, like, oh, well, you know, everybody else is eating, like, McDonald's fast food and all, you know, and it's like, hey, your neighbor just got the new Isuzu. You need to get one too. And it's like, that's what I hate.
Expected to consume. I agree. That's exactly what I was getting at. You're just, from birth, you're expected to consume.
Here's Christmas. You need to spend all of your money on everybody else. And hope that they spend some on you, you know? Like, I went last Christmas, I was like, I told my friend Adam, I was like, Adam, I want to get you a Christmas present, and you're going to get me one. I'm going to spend $50 and say that was from you, and you're going to do the same thing. And he was like, really? And I was like, yeah, guilt-free spend. And he was like, yeah, I like this Christmas. But why would I spend $50 on each of you when I could spend $100 on myself and free your money up for you?
Well, here's the thing. When I grew up, there was limits to consuming. And right. Let me give you an example. So for example, you bought presents on holidays and birthdays for children. You didn't buy them for adults.
When I
was growing up, when I was a kid in the 80s, like I never saw my uncles and my aunts like giving each other gifts. They never did that.
The meal, so they showed up the to meal, each other.
Your presents. Yeah. It's just your presents and you're just celebrating the day. So you have a meal, you have food.
Yeah.
All my friends now, I've fallen into this trap. I buy gifts for adults all the time, like most of my friends. And of course it's very costly.
It's new expectations. But
in the back of my head, yeah, I'm still, my mind is still saying, why are we doing this? These are adults. They can buy the things that they want.
Yeah.
But I think that's been part of, however that came to be, however that emerged in our society, whether intentional or not, that has changed. Now it's just everything all the time. That's how everything. You show adulation. That's how you show respect is a gift. You're buying right. something for yourself or someone or some mm-hmm. purpose. You know, it's all an emulation.
But even I was in a Christmas circle and I was like, can I just make fudge for people? And they were like, that's great. Yeah. And gifts. And I was like, no.
No, that is the gift.
Me making the fudge is a gift.
Yeah, like, exactly.
And so, yeah, it just, because that's how I grew up. My mom said, if you make something for somebody, it means more. You know, if you put thought into it, it means more. So yeah, you bought a new house. I don't know you. And now I got to come and decorate it for you.
Yeah.
I don't care. Yeah. You had a new baby. I don't know anything about this baby, but you want me to buy something for it? I just don't get that. I don't get people that want gifts and have random events to get them.
Well, I think it ruins relationships too. Well, go ahead, Zach.
Yeah.
Well, that's also like a love language too, giving gifts and receiving gifts. Like that's like part of some people's like, what do you call it? Affirmation of love. And like, it shows them that you agreed. Care about them. And also some people, that's how they show that they care about you. Like that's just right. like a love language. There's like, what is it? There's like five types of love, like touch, it's quality time, things like that. So like there's different ways that people convey their,
I love all that. Just don't put it on a calendar for me, because then I feel obligated and I don't want
to. No, yeah, no, I'm just saying.
Let me ask you guys, because that brings up something that I think about all the time. Because I'll use an analogy for what you just said, Zach, because you're right. A lot of people, that's how they show their affection is by constantly gift giving, right? Bringing surprises, things like that. I liken that to like training a dog or training an animal. So by that, I mean, if I have a dog that I'm training, if I'm always gifting it with treats, that is the only thing it is worried about from me. That's what it wants from me all the time. Right. Everything else becomes secondary. The priority
is to get
that
treat. That's what it sees as affection, right?
Right. So anytime it does something, it is more of like a business arrangement. I give you the treat, you roll over or you fetch the newspaper, right? As soon as I don't give you that treat and I ask you to do something, you're offended, because that's not the relationship we have. The relationship is I give you a treat, you do something for me.
Correct.
Right. So for whatever reason, I don't like that. And that's why I use that analogy, because when I train an animal, like if I trained a dog or a horse or whatever,
mm-hmm.
I would rather that this is a respect. So if you do something for me, it's because you know I will do something for you. So the gift, I guess it's just a definition of the gift, you know, as like the action is the gift, as opposed to just a material thing, you know, a box of chocolates or a video game or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, what do you guys think about
right, that? Right. But it's not just material though. It could also be done with words of affirmation.
Agreed. You consider that a gift? Like if someone says, yes, I love you, that's a gift.
I totally do.
Really? Yeah,
no, for real. That's a love language. It's a way of like confirming that you care about this person. It's the same. You can do the same thing with a dog to train them. You touch them, you know, it's like, good boy, you know, and you pet them in the head. Like, yeah, I did
right. That's what I'm saying. That's a bond of respect.
It's the same thing
to me. It isn't that because
what's the difference between touching someone and giving them a gift?
In the absence of a gift, like a physical thing, that's when it becomes a contention. But I might skip a beat with my affirmations, with my love and my affection, and that's okay. That's okay. That can be forgiven. That isn't considered a breach of contract, let's say.
Right.
But if our contract, if our relationship is always based on me giving you something, mm-hmm. and I don't, when I ask you to do something, then you question it, right? Because your trust was based on that.
Maybe it's more obvious, but I think it still happens with just take words of affirmation. Like if you don't say you love them in good night one night, you know, and you do that every night, they're going to feel like, what the fuck's going on? Like, is he mad at me? Like that's gonna you, that's gonna you pop would forgive in their
head. Someone just as easily. Let's say, like in both examples, it does. They're equal to you.
Well, no, not necessarily to me, but what I'm saying is they can be, right? Like, because there, it's just it elicits the same response in your mind. You get right. that hit of dopamine.
So if I said I love you for a month and then didn't say it, but instead handed you flowers, but didn't say I love you, would that feel good, or would you resent the flowers because you didn't get the I love you? I think.
It depends on how you.
I think that's a new communication. Love, yeah, because something yeah. else is up. Yeah, like you would question it. Right?
You would and question like, it.
Yeah,
and then, but also when you're training an animal, you don't always give them sugar. Point. You know, you start to sometimes you give them a gift.
I love that you made that connection. So it's like, by the way, I feel I got most of my communication skills from Caesar Milan, the dog whisperer. Well,
<dude. laughs>
because simple commands make the difference. But I also believe that verbal affirmations. Life isn't one gift every month. It's everything that Zach's talking about, and maybe a gift, you know, to cover any mistakes. But you have to want to give the gift because you care a lot about that person. Like I hate feeling obligated to give somebody something, but if I walk by something and go, man, that reminds me of fucking Marco, and just get it and send it to him, I think that's a better gift than, oh, it's Christmas and you didn't get me what I wanted, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fudge wasn't on my list.
Yeah. No, really.
I do that with
Santa Claus 24/7. I'm really actually still hoping even now that I can reach a point in my life where I just don't have to get gifts for adults anymore. Like, it's a birthday party and we just show up. Nobody buys shit. You know, you bring liquor maybe or whatever, but
a potluck, right. Right.
Yeah, that's a gift. That's enough. I don't need something from you, you know, plus, to affirm our relationship.
If it's Christmas, do you really want me diverting some of my funds away from your child to get you a gift? Or would you like me to invest everything I have for a gift into your child and get them a better gift? And we get a conversation, right?
And how ugly a thought is that? Like, there's some bank account that's just devoted to the amount of gift giving I'm gonna do. And if if I don't give something to you, it goes to your kid. Like, I owe you $1,000 worth of gifts or something.
Right. Well, that's how a wedding is. If you don't give somebody a wedding gift, you have up to a year to get it for them before they hate you. Come on now.
You know? Yeah, that's. It's very strange.
It's the expectations to spend. And I just, as a poor person, I don't like that. And so my mom, for me, a gift was more of a reason to get together and spend time together. Like, look, we just got the Atari 2600. Let's hang out as a family and play. And so the gift was the night, not the Atari. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. No, I agree.
Mm-hmm. I love that. All right. Let me see. I do. Did you have anything to wrap up, Zach? You just got super dark. I love it. Wait, you're not black, right?
I don't know what happened. No, but sometimes that identifies.
I have a friend who wishes he was black. Like, genuinely, he wishes he was a black man, not a white man.
Marco, what I want to ask more about Audiopong. Like, you all have an amazing sound, right? And like, I rarely get to talk to a producer, editor, promoter, podcaster, you know what
you're
I mean?
You're doing me too many favors, man.
A lot of times I just get to talk to a host, but like, I want to ask both of you just kind of what microphones you use. I'm going to start with Marco. What kind of microphones you use? Are they what you started with?
Yeah. So I bought this one a few years ago. It's a Rode NT-USB. Rode makes excellent microphones. I was hesitant at first because it's a USB.
Yeah.
And that is one of the troubles with a USB microphone I've come to learn over the years is that your driver and program settings, it's a whirlwind. You have to spend the time, dig down, see what's messing with what. You got to get a virtual soundboard going to try and fix it or just control it in general. Right now, this is just a clean feed. It's just, you know, I've turned everything off. I've got it, you know, amped down a little bit, but that's it. It's an excellent microphone once you get it to that point. That and speech classes that helped me at least. That was a thing for me in high school and then also at other jobs I've had in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, you know, if I wasn't taught, I taught myself how to, you know, give speeches, how to tell a story, things like that.
Yeah. No, I get that. I told everybody a year before I started podcasting, I looked in a mirror and recorded myself so I could see what I was doing wrong. And I would hear my nervous laugh, and then I would try and eliminate that. And then I would listen to YouTube people, and I'd be like, I could do that accent, or Dan Rather, or like voices like John Williams from 720 AM. Man, don't you want to be that guy? You know what I mean? So I love that. Yeah. But it was more about getting to sound correct versus getting out there fast, right?
My belief is that sound quality, even if people don't talk about it necessarily, their brain is paying attention to it. And I pay attention to things like that, like how long I listen to a video or how long my attention is captured based on what I'm listening to. And I did notice and still do that I lose I lose attention immediately sometimes if the sound quality is bad. There's a lack of professionalism that seems behind it. Like if you don't care about the sound, then why do you care about the rest of what's going on?
Right.
And it does start with the mic. I think you need a good microphone. And thankfully now good microphones are quite affordable. I mean, they're in the hundreds of dollars range, but that needs to be very affordable. You know, you can easily save up for that.
That's the one of two pieces of equipment you need to podcast, you know?
So, yeah. I mean, that's the sword, you know?
What are you using, Zach?
Exactly. So I did some research and then I was looking at some XLR cable mics, and then I was just like, then you had to also buy an interface as well I'm like, this is just, it was getting expensive. And I was like, Marco says this one works really well. He's been using it for other things. I listened to his recordings and stuff. We used it once before. We tried to do a podcast before Audio Pong, and we just never really picked up because I don't know if it was timing or what.
Yeah, it was commitment, timing, gear, everything. It wasn't right.
Right. Yeah. Now, we go through a lot of evolutions in making our mistakes. You know, I started with 34 podcasts that I could make, concepts that I could make without anybody else's help, like going to church and recording masses, or going to the Veterans Center and talking to vets, or, you know, the retirement communities and getting stories from older people. Like, I tried all those things, and one of those was public access stuff. And I was it was just like, well, you got free content on the Internet Archive. Just put that up as a podcast and practice your audio skills, you know? So,
yeah, that's a really good point you made. I mean, you're surrounded by resources, right?
Yeah.
I mean, what it's just a matter of molding into something lucrative, I suppose, is what the goal is, at least in part. Is that how you started then, as public access stuff?
I started with the Unsigned Countdown. Like, we were the first music review podcast on Stitcher, so what I did was I would get 10 songs a week, and then I would have three hosts and I rate them 1 to 10, and then we would have the top, you know, we would promote all the songs because every podcaster needs content, and if you can fill half of your stuff with songs, you know?
and then we
would review them and get them to get together. And then we were so big, we had 8 hosts, top 5, bottom 5, and we had bands like listening to our podcast in real time, messaging us. The camp sites were listening to our episode because they were about to be featured. Some really cool stuff. But then personalities conflicted, people didn't like redesignation of the roles, you know?
Yeah.
Here's the thing I want to say about you two. You're so lucky, and I am with Jeffrey, because you can't do it alone. Like, I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that alone.
It is a lot. Yeah. You know? Well, just a whole lot.
Nobody wants to listen to just me. It's so monotone. People will tune out. Right. But to have a consistent co-host changed my life. And that's why I think I really respected you guys, because you were obvious friends and willing to do this together. And
we're lucky. I always feel lucky with Zach because, I mean, you know, we always joke, it's the problems we get along with. That also helps a lot too. I mean, I feel like we worked well together, communicate well. To me, that's number one, communication. For any relationship, friend or, you know, or foe.
Right.
You know.
I hate you.
That's what it was.
Thank you, Ezekiel.
Oh, we're on the same page. Very good.
That's what happened. Personality started conflicting, and then somebody wanted to badmouth people to get up on the top. And I thought this was all ridiculous because this was just something I made. It's a podcast. Fuck you. You can show up. You can't. You know, I thought it would be that easy. But they were like, I want to be number one. And
find the narcissist in the room. Yeah.
Right. And then you find the pacifist that's like, I'm out of here. I don't want to deal with it. And then everything falls apart because because that's your main host, you know.
That is so, always the problem. Yeah. So, but, no, so I definitely feel lucky. Yeah.
I came back relying on just that audio from the Internet Archive. Yeah. And then I met Jeffrey. And so I had a co-host and we started doing what I always wanted, these conversations, you know?
Yeah. I'm already thrilled by the concept, especially if I'm, you know, lucky enough to live a long life, you know, coming back to listen to this shit when I'm 80, you know?
Right.
Like, oh,
I think it's just cool that it's on here forever, right? Like, it's never going away. So, like, when I'm dead, you know, my family can listen to my voice again.
Ooh, isn't that crazy?
It's like, I'm almost in the room. That's what's doing it. Maybe that's not a good thing for that. Maybe that's not healthy.
I have this fantasy that, like, what I believe that there was five civilizations before us, and I imagine that they always get sent under sunder by volcanoes or some seismic collision, but something survives and it digs up the past and finds the Bible, right? And they're like, oh, this is the words we'll live by. And I imagine, like, sometime in the future, Earth will be destroyed and they'll dig something up and it'll be my podcast. And they'll be like, oh, this is how civilization was. Let's try working on it. Like, I'm going to be the next Bible.
Wow. Right? How big is your
open conversations? But,
you aim for the start. The Bible is...
I don't know, man. That's not that bad. I say humans are God.
Right.
Well, so, they are, man.
Yeah, I
agree.
Yeah.
We're super beings. It's like we're the only species, at least on this planet, that can control everything around them, their environment, the weather, the, you know, we can literally seed clouds and make it rain. Like, that's a thing we've done. Like, that's amazing. We've gone out of our
engine for life. I mean, how is that not a God? You can literally create life.
Or not, right?
And destroy it.
Boy, on mass level, right now, they're like, these motherfuckers are burning in hell.
No, we're not. Hell is the absence of light, not the burning of it. You know what I mean? It's just, that's what I learned from the prophecy, when the devil movie? Was just, when the, yeah, the movie.
I love that movie.
The devil was just like, hell isn't fire. It's the absence of God. It's the absence of hope. And I was like, I could take that. I'd live that now. You know?
That's Dante's Inferno as well. The further you get, the deeper you get into hell, the further you get from God's light. And the seventh level or ninth level, something like that of hell is just ice. And then it's the devil frozen.
That's how Hades is too, isn't it? In Greek mythology, it's got levels to it.
Yeah. There's like Tartarus, which is like the equivalent of what the Christian hell is like.
No.
And then there's the field of Elysium, which is part of Hades as well. Like, it's part of the underworld, but that's like heaven. So, like, yeah, there's different designations.
Yeah, but it seems like what I like about the Greek mythology or the Greek beliefs is that it doesn't matter who you are. If you die, you're going to the underworld. Like, that's just that's just Earth too, right? Like the only place, the heaven is only for the gods, so to speak, right? There's different rewards,
right? In the field of Elysium, not many people get to go there. I think it's like children and like ridiculously good people.
Exactly. And a warrior. That would be a warrior, right? Yeah.
And most people are living in like a dank world where it's just cold and dark. And it's like, it's not a pleasant place to live or to exist.
So that's why I like the Rode NT USB microphone.
I'm using the XRT with a Scarlett interface, but the Scarlett interface has two channels and the microphone only plugs into one, so it ends up that I have to stereo it on my Zoom. So I don't know, but if people like that, I like that. I like giving podcasters help. I never get to talk about that, you know.
I think there's more. You yourself will develop a better thing when you have a community to work with on it. I mean, you know what I mean? Like I all my good ideas were fed off of someone else's good idea in some way, you know, we call it inspiration, I guess, whatever, but it's fun to me too. I agree. And I think that, I want to help, you know, one thing I always say, and I believe I mean it, is that I want to celebrate your victory as well. There's no reason for me to be jealous of your success.
Yeah.
You know, because at the very least, I could be learning from it too, you know.
Snoop Dogg just said that. He just said, you're appreciating my music, but you got to understand that I'm putting a spin on somebody's music you never heard of.
Right. Exactly. No, exactly. Yeah. That's why I love it when, like, to me, the honest musicians are when they, you know, when they ask me, like, well, who inspired you? Who'd you listen to? And it's always someone you never heard of. It's like, yeah. Like, and now I know he's being honest.
Right.
You know?
Although there's some people that are like, how niche can I go? I love Iron Butterfly.
True. That's true.
How could you? You know?
Iron Butterfly. That sounds fun.
It is.
Is that a real band?
Yeah.
I have to look that up. I like title.
Inagata Davida. They have a 19-minute.
You've heard that song.
Yeah, it's 19 minutes. Okay. Unless you listen to the Slayer version, then it's just two.
Well, I was introduced to Worm Rot last night, and they have like 30-second songs.
Fuck, I love that. Yeah, that was
so fun.
I love that. I wish I had a playlist just full of misfits and 30-second songs, you know? S-O-D.
Log on to Spotify. It's waiting for you.
Wow. All right. I love that. Well, I don't pay for Spotify. Maybe I should, but I can't random my song lists, and it bugs me. Because I bought music on Apple. They were like, hey, buy this CD if you like it. And I did. And then I spent like $400 on the music I liked. And then they were like, hey, subscribe and get all the music for $9.99. I was like, where does my music go? So I invested in Apple, and that's where I'm at.
Well, I love it. Yeah, that's pretty good. I mean, there's a lot of unique music too, which I like. That's something that I like about both platforms, and I hope it never gets ruined, is that there's a lot of independent.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the fact that we're on there for free, you know, I mean, that's fantastic. Right.
Yeah.
I love it. How did you guys feel about, I don't know if you have a feeling about, how did it affect you, or how do you feel about the Joe Rogan, Neil Young fight and the boycott of Spotify and all that stuff?
I didn't know that was happening.
Yeah, I'm glad.
Congratulations. Wow. I like that. Yeah,
ignorance is bliss.
To know that it didn't explode into like a normal conversation, that it might have been just something small. I like that.
Well, for me, it breaks down into a free speech argument, right? And the fact that, first of all, I think Neil Young is anti-free speech. I don't think he's really a free speech proponent like he claims to be when he speaks in person or through his music, because he's one of those people that as soon as they don't like it, then they think it should be shut down. That's not free speech.
Right.
Whereas Joe Rogan is the complete opposite. That's why I defend him in that argument. I think Neil Young was just an idiot. And I really don't even think Neil Young is in charge of Neil Young. You know what I mean? Like the name is, you know what I mean? The industry owns his name and his music. So yeah, he's a brand. And so he'll respond to his brand, if that makes sense.
Right.
So not that I want to take away any blame from him, but it's really childish in nature. And when it comes down to it, it's about free speech. And that's why I think Neil Young, if I'm to blame a single person, is an idiot. I think that was really stupid. And I think Spotify is still stupid for some of the things they do. I don't like that they've removed some episodes from Joe Rogan's podcast and other podcasts. People think it's just Joe Rogan getting pruned. He's not the only one. Oh. So I think that's bullshit. You know,
I agree. I agreed on that. Neil Young, in attempting to protect his right, diminished other podcasts. Like our pod, because of the boycott, people didn't listen to the counterpoints to what Joe Rogan was saying from time to time, which made Joe Rogan one of the only podcasts that was still getting listens, which diminished our stuff. I wish Neil Young had been like, maybe you should listen to other podcasts like Public Access America or Audio Pong, you know?
And I think other musicians in the past have made much better arguments, like D. Snyder from Twisted Sister. I really like him. Or Frank Zappa, who I really, really like even more. I think if they were to say it, they would probably put it more like, well, you know, I think what he's doing is, or this, that, and that is really stupid, you know, but we shouldn't be attacking his right to say it. Like that just instantly gets you respect. Like if Neil Young had said that, people would have been like, you know what, Neil Young's, that makes a good point. Maybe I don't agree with, you know, Joe Rogan or his guest or whatever.
Right.
But instead they came out like a child, you know, just shaking a foam sword. It's like, who you think? It's like, I knew who was going to win that argument before that argument finished. You know, it's like Neil Young, rest in peace.
Who lost that argument?
Well, Neil Young did.
Joe Rogan got millions of subscribers. Yeah. Neil Young sold millions of albums. But
that's a good point.
Public Access America missed 2/3 of its audience because people boycotted Spotify. So who are you really hurting in that conversation?
Yeah, it's always the little guy who gets the pinch. Sure.
Yeah, right. And the first thing I did, I went to the Joe Rogan website and said, I'll be on your show, because I think that's what's important. The counter the counter conversation, rational people having rational conversations. Yeah, they get in the weeds. We say some stupid stuff, but that's the point. Americans say some stupid stuff, and they need to know they have the space to unsay it or elaborate, right?
Oh, that's, I think, really important. I think that's what's missing from social media is the giving people the ability to say, look, I said something dumb, or, you know, I'm not that person anymore. I don't even believe, like, I agree with you. That version of me is, well, he said it's stupid. Right. I don't think that way anymore.
Change me. Don't do that. I said it so you would change me, and in hopes change the world that feels the same way. That's how I feel.
There's my favorite line from the movie Bright, from the orc cop, when they're hiding in the bathroom and they're kind of patching up their wounds, and he's like, the reason he didn't tell his partner the truth was because you can't, there's no backpedaling anything from humans. Right. I mean, everything is so definite when you say, and that was telling. I was like, yes, I agree. We live in that world. That's very unfortunate.
But you don't have to backpedal. You just have to allow your mind to be changed. Like, if somebody says, hey, your view on masculinity is wrong, I'd be like, all right, let's get on the show. Let's talk about it, you know?
Yeah, and I think there needs to be respect, too. Like, and I work on this, that a respect for people's minds who you can't change, you know? I don't have to agree with you, but I shouldn't be upset that I couldn't change your mind. Not really. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Unless you're causing trouble. That's different, I suppose. If you're causing harm, then...
Yeah,
you should be disciplined, but that's different, I think, take.
True.
Was that the only question you had? Or go ahead, Jack.
What was happening between Neil Young and Joe Rogan?
Joe Rogan said, I'm on a routine for COVID. One of the things I'm taking is ivermectin because I couldn't get vaccinated. He wanted an appointment in Vegas. They filled up, he couldn't get one, so he started this protocol of 30 things, vitamins, minerals, ivermectin.
Yeah.
And the media said, oh, Joe Rogan takes ivermectin. And, well, yeah, he, among other things, but they didn't say that. And so Neil Young was like, oh, Joe Rogan's promoting ivermectin, we shouldn't listen to him. And everybody was like, oh, Spotify is siding with Joe Rogan's right to take that, everything he's taken, you know. And then he did get vaccinated, by the way, and Spotify taking his side made everybody go boycott Spotify. And it was because Joe Rogan said 30 words, and one of the words people didn't like at the time, and I found that offensive.
Okay,
it was really silly.
I didn't know it was that old.
That was last year even it was that had happened ago, I think. No.
Was it that long ago?
And yeah, Neil Young, in an attempt to boycott, left Spotify and then begged basically to get back on it. So now he's back on Spotify. Well,
so he wasn't selling as much music. Oh,
yeah, no, yeah, poor guy.
Because he's not Taylor Swift.
Yeah,
I was gonna say Taylor Swift. She's like never been on Spotify. She was just like, I don't want part of that. They don't treat artists the way that I would believe they should be treated, pretty much.
Well, that's why I backed out of the one contest. I got through like the first round of like interviewing or whatever, so now I think they showed interest. And I looked at their contract, because I was talking to a waitress at a bar who had done the same thing.
Yeah.
And she told me, you know, you can read that, you know, look what they really want. They want to own, they own your name, and then they take 99% of everything you make goes to them, and then you have to peddle to them. You have to do whatever they say. They own your ass. It's like the fucking military. You got to do what they say, because you're a brand now. If your name takes off, that's it. If you win or whatever, right? But even that, even if you don't win, that's what was bullshit. Even if you don't win, they still own your name until the universe burns out. That's like literally in the contract. Like, till the end of time, they own your name, and anything you make, you have to pay them under that name. I was like, fuck that. I'm not asleep, you know.
That's like one of those like American Idol shows.
That was the one. Or The Voice. Sorry. The Voice. Yeah. Yeah.
The Voice.
Nice. The Voice. And that was the most, that was one that seemed the most sketchy to me, because I always felt like when I watched The Voice, the judges, they just care about themselves and their
career. They're predators,
like they're
right?
Yeah, they're predators. They're totally using these young talents. What's funny is there's a lot of people that come on that show that are way more talented than the people that are judging them, you know?
Correct.
Yeah, you know, someone like a woman who can play the guitar and sound like a siren while, you know, and she's being judged by a guy who literally auto-tunes everything he does. Like, come on. I don't, yeah.
It's for people that own studios looking to prey on talent.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's free money for them. What do they lose? They don't lose anything.
Correct.
You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I wasn't happy about that either, but... You know, there's always that that enticement. Oh, I can make it big and be a rich singer. Of course, that's what I want. You know what I mean?
Right.
But
I don't know. I like
do it that way.
I like the Katy Perry idea of like make your money, then go back and play in the subways for fun. You know what I mean? Like,
she's awesome. No,
would
I
you,
really
would you sell out
power to her
in a heartbeat. I would sell out for 5 years. My contract would definitely say at some point when I make my millions, I'm out and you don't own me and I'm going back to the subway to play my hits. You know?
No, yeah, be smart and fun. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I agree with that.
Once you make your money on Ballers, by the way, they explained it that an athlete has to earn $10 million. Once he earns $10 million, the interest from that will supply him and his family the rest of his life if he lives in a moderate way or, an opulent, moderate way, consistent way.
Opulent, right? opulent moderation.
Well, he has a mansion. I have
right.
a room. So, you know, but yeah. So once you make your money, I think people are figuring it out. Once you make enough to survive the rest of your life, you don't have to go gung-ho like MC Hammer. Like, you can just maintain that and not have to be exposed the rest of your life. Like Britney Spears, you know? She's gonna have money no matter what for the rest of her life, right?
yeah, presumably. Yeah. Well, a lot of them, they start out so young and they don't know anything. They don't teach them anything. They just give them all this money.
Yeah.
And then don't teach them how to use it, you know? Right.
Or their parents take
it. Yeah, they get used.
Does whatever, waste it.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the world is just full of predators trying to monetize their prey.
Well, we're all predators.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or prey.
Technically, right?
Well, you can live in a different way. If you make decisions that benefit other people when you have an ability to, instead of just yourself, you know? Like, I told my roommate, I was like, what are you listening to? He's like, country. I was like, I don't like that. So he turned it off. And I was like, you don't have to turn it off for me. He's like, no, you're going to have to live with my disappointment. And I was like, well, that feels better because it's about me. You know, like, no, that's not true.
Why did you say that? What was I talking about earlier? I forgot already. But, you know, if you give your opinion on something, what are you really saying? Right? What's the Freudian side of that? You're really telling him, hey, man, turn that shit off. I don't want to listen to that.
It was a country rap fusion, and I don't think anybody that loves country or rap should ever listen to it. I think maybe somebody that's never heard music before can listen to it.
I really feel like, yeah, like I don't like modern country for the most part. I think it's too much of a, it really is just southern rap or southern pop. But but there's still some good country out there. You know,
to each their own. That's fine. But
exactly.
Tell me who the audience is beyond Kid Rock doing country. You know,
he still sells out, man. He's on tour right now. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, because he.
And I can't stand
people love him. But he said.
I just hate it when people say their own name in music. I'm like, yeah, I know who you're listening. Who you are?
So you're not a fan of Cher or Prince or anyone whose name is their title.
No, when right. they sing
my name is Kid Rock, like, I'm a kid
in their song.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
It's
is he gonna add pronouns eventually?
The Beastie Boys even get annoying when they do that.
I'm a they slash them and I'm wearing blue.
Right. Yeah. No, that's not Kid Rock. He's the guy that gave hepatitis to my dream girl, Pamela. He can go to hell. He ruined my chances with Pamela Anderson, like I ever had him, you know?
Oh, man, you dodged a bullet. Don't worry, man.
Maybe. She was one of the sweetest people for a while. I don't know what happened to her recently, you know? But yeah, I mean, we all have crushes when we're young. Somebody's like, what's your favorite campy movie? And I was like, Not of This Earth with Tracy Lords.
So hey, that's a good one. Yeah, Not of This Earth. That's a good one, yeah.
Yeah, but it was more about Tracy Lords being topless than it was about the quality of the
She's an interesting person, too. She's like
she is.
She's like a smart porn star. Not that they're not smart, but
She's evolved and rebranded beyond it.
Yeah.
But she's also very cautious about what she talks about, which makes her a horrible guest.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I often worry about that, too. Like, if I, you know, when the day comes that I do find some success out of this or voice acting or whatever, am I going to become, you know, a total pussy about it because I'm worried about, you know, protecting it? What am I, you know, worried about what I'm going to say? And what doors will they close?
I don't think so, because with the way we've built our podcast, it's about the free form of ideas.
Fitting them into your format.
So if we started curtailing our speech to please others, our core audience would leave
that's
us.
True. Well, that's just it. Yeah. Like, so what would like, we sell? What would we be willing to sell out in order to make money? Because that's the whole point of that's what they do to you, right?
But I don't think you would.
I wouldn't want to.
You couldn't. Sure. You couldn't.
Right.
No, I mean, you literally couldn't. Like, it's not an option. It's not an option to sell out to make money when we are building it.
That's hopefully the thing. Yeah.
You can't. There's not an option to curtail speech right. at that point, because you're not going to be able to make money then, because that's not our demographic. Our demographic, our audience, are people who want to hear ideas and hear different perspectives and things. That's our target.
I just hope it stays that way. Yeah,
I think you do tend to fall into a niche, though. Like Charlemagne the God, right? He's going to fall into a certain niche where he has to promote a certain side because that's who his audience is, and he wants to pander to them for 10 more bucks. Tucker Carlson doesn't believe what Tucker Carlson says, but his audience does, so he needs to pander to that. And that must be a living hell to go from CNN to Fox and lie, knowing that you're from CNN, but just making up stories to piss the other side off. But that's the thing. Like Tosh 1.0?
He fell into Daniel Tosh,
Joel McHale. They all fell into these, like, I have to be this stereotypical version of me now, and nobody likes that anymore. So finding people that fit your format, I think, is what's cool.
I guess what I'm saying is I hope the stereotype I become is the one I want.
Me too.
That's basically it.
Me too. Yeah.
I mean, that's the goal, essentially.
You become your character becomes the authentic self.
That's, and I'm fine with that.
Yeah. That way it's easy.
It would be nice to have something that I can finally focus on easily, you know, not that the work will be easy, but the focus will be easy.
The expansion of progress is beyond you. It's exponential at some point. The work you're putting in affects more than one other person, right?
Hopefully, at what point am I willing to like also let go of it as well? Like, when will I sell it? Will I give it to someone else? Yeah. You know?
Yeah. That has to happen. I announced on a show, if Russia wanted to buy our podcast, $20 million, and it's gone.
It's yours, man.
Because we each need $10 million to live our lifestyle like a baller.
That's the town, man.
But you know,
honestly, you can give me the Dan Bilzerian ticket. That's what I'm hoping for.
We had this chance to interview a guy. I'm going to call him Chad, but he was in the Call of Duty games, and then he was in this other movie about assassins. And I was really excited because it was in the height of the pandemic, and I really wanted to know what was going on. And he came on, and he was like, by the way, I can't be political because my studio doesn't want me to have an opinion one way or another on anything. And I can't really talk about the pandemic or what I've been doing in the pandemic. And I was like, that was my whole fucking show.
That's what we want to know. What are you doing? How are you surviving? What do you think? You know.
And so more popularity doesn't mean more freedom. It's more restrictions. Like, people are always like trying to shove commercials in their stuff to sound professional, and I'm like, that just tells me you need to survive on that, and that's not content I want to hear. So if you're going to survive on content that I don't want to hear, I don't want to support that.
Yeah, it's delicate. I'm so anti commercial myself that I turn things off that I like when the commercial hits. So I wonder who else is like me. You know what I mean?
I want them to look at their stats and go, why are people listening for only 5 minutes? Like, right? Why are they tuning out after 30 seconds? I want them to see that in their stats, because our stats are long, because we took the commercials off the beginning. Red Circle dumped 8 commercials in our episodes, right in the middle of like Winston Churchill or Martin Luther King. There's this commercial, and it's like, fuck you. I don't need the commercials to sound professional. Like I told you, I'm not going to make it public, my idea for success, but it's not cramming crap into sound professional. It's becoming professional.
Right. Yeah. Right.
I wish podcasters understood that. You're just alienating your audience with 2 minutes of commercial. People only listen for the first 30 seconds. And if they hear quality audio, they're going to listen further until they don't hear.
Yeah, that's what I think about too, is the bait. That's what I refer to it as. Like, how long can I bait your interest?
Right.
You know? Because I don't want to bait you with what I'm talking about, because that's, like you said, pandering. But I do want to get you in the room and sitting down.
Right.
If I can get that to happen, maybe you'll stay and listen to most of the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
The hook.
The reason Audio Pong exists is to share that conversation with the world. Yeah.
Yeah. What is the hook for you guys? How do you try to hook an audience?
I'll tell you, you're a big, you and I keep mentioning bottled up bitches, because what I was trying to do was change people. I'm not trying to get people back to the left wall. I'm trying to get people back to the center rationality. And then like, I'm triaging people here. I'm like, hey, it's not leftist. It's normal to be human, right? Come here. And then they can decide where to go from there. Just please don't go back to MAGA, but put thought into it. If you're going to be MAGA, at least know you're MAGA, right? But come and have a rational thought. And then they go to audio pong and they learn more philosophical things. You're not like political topics, right? And then bottled up bitches is a sex conversation, and they do the pronoun stuff and the freedom to be pod. So I don't have to do all that. So now I just get the topics during the week and we talk about them. And wherever that, like our the last episode we had, Jeffrey was like, yeah, Trump hid documents. And I was like, yeah, and Bill Clinton hid a blowjob. And he was like, yeah, but the power structure of that relationship. And I was like, yeah, that's true. And then we went into this half hour of relationships and how sometimes we love people beyond their usefulness and will they come back? And I was like, I like the idea that we can free flow a conversation like that. It's so hard to title.
Yeah, tell me about it, because that's pretty much what we do.
Tangent, right? Three. We are tangent. We are tangents of imagination, you know, and I love that because nobody's thinking about being imaginative about these solutions. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So Marco, where do you want people to find your show, Audio Pong, if we're going to wrap up now?
I would like for everyone to just Google Audio Pong podcast and you'll find everything that all the platforms that we're on, and then you can just choose and pick which one you like the best. Obviously we have a Twitter account, we have a TikTok account. I prefer Spotify, but most of our listeners use Apple, so that's cool. You know, nice. We don't discriminate. Whatever device you want to use, man, give us a listen, check us out.
I love it. And Zach, where do you want people to connect with the hosts of Audio Pong?
Yeah, so you can connect to us with Twitter. We have an Instagram as well. We also have TikTok, so you can find us there. I run the TikTok, and I also do a lot with Instagram, and I post on Twitter as well. But Marco does a lot of that as well.
Facebook should be coming up soon. Hopefully, we'll figure that one out. I want to get the Facebook going because we don't really have a Facebook yet. But yeah.
Yeah. We also have an email, so if you'd like to email us at audiopong. .gmail.com or at gmail.com. That's another way to reach at us. We have a Patreon, and we also have the Red Circle is our hosting site. So if you go there, you can also find all the plethora of choice to find.
Red Circle
us
offers some exclusive content availability, and it's a great host platform that's free. So if you're considering a host platform, you can consider Red Circle in that. I really love that. And I want to let people know that if you want to be a guest in these conversations, you can do that by contacting either podcast. We've decided to kind of work together with guests and hosts to create a bigger conversation with diverse perspectives, but share those amongst the podcasts for a more expansive conversation. So if you want to do that, go ahead and DM. You can email them. You can DM me on Twitter. Our email is publicaccessamerica@gmail.com, but that just means I'm going to get 1,000 spam emails because I said that. I really appreciate you guys. I hope you know that. Thank you for
being. Oh, you too, Jason. Thanks for having us on, man. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah,
everybody go listen to Audio Pong. Go at least go and subscribe to it on Apple, because what's an amazing thing is, I'll wrap up on this, every Monday you guys post, our show pops up in the Apple feed with Bottled Up Bitches and Audio Pong, and it's a it's a real great combination of conversations, and you guys, your audio is loud enough to where I can play it on my Google device and actually hear you, so...
I'm glad to know that. Yeah, that's one thing. When I edit, I make sure I test it on my phone, just because I know most people are on their phone. That's the number one device too, by the way, that people listen to us. I'm sure you're probably the same with all your listeners, is the phone for podcasting.
Yeah, definitely mobile devices all the way. I love it. Thank you, people. And thank you Africa, man, for being a new demographic for both us and Audio Pong. We will talk to you next week. Jeffrey will be back for some more exciting adventures, and he'll probably talk about his guitar. Love you guys. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
To those who would tear the world down, we will defeat you.
This is our moment. This is our time.
To those who seek peace and safety,
security. We support you.
Yes, we can.
And to all those who have wondered if America's beacon still burns as bright, tonight we prove once more that the true strength of our nation comes not from the might of our arms or the scale of our wealth, but from the enduring power of our ideals, democracy, liberty, opportunity, and unyielding hope.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. Very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and kick you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is gonna hit as hard as life.
Ask not.
Yes, we can.
What your country can do for you.
I have a dream.
Ask what you can do for your country.
My poor little children.
Yes, we can.
One day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression.
In this lifetime, you don't have to prove nothing to nobody except yourself.
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward.
That's how winning is done.
Welcome to Public Access America.
Yes, we can.
Sunday live stream time, YouTube.
I wanted to run out of that tunnel for my dad.
On Twitter.
Apple
Podcasts. Stitcher Smart Radio Public, and Spotify.
Yes, we can.
Public Access Public America. History in the making. Making history in the making.